interrupting the current neo-euronial, climate-changed, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, postulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM 496. We keep creeping up on that big number. I don't know how big it is, but a big number. And everything in its power is trying to keep us from that. Thank you for to Sound Minds, again, persisting. If you can find his stuff after the fact, he shows you some of the video as we go, hopefully simulcasting. With the content, you can kind of read it, see what might interest you. All I can do is present the surface of things. Hopefully something will interest somebody to dig in, because we have lots of subject matter to dig into, and not anyone can probably do much of more than one or maybe two issues. What I speak about is the foundation of how where most of it comes from, so I can speak in many directions, but to really address this, again, we talked about the most jam-packed minute in radio for two continuous hours, right here behind the woodshed, break free, and to be free, though, it's not a spectator sport, so you have to jump in where you can, and the main thrust of what I've been talking about for over a decade is re-emerging and being advanced, and we heard about that a little bit last week, relative to the climate police. I'm going to touch a little bit of that too. Again, going on to show you it's across the board and our silence is really allowing it to come on. I really don't know what else to say about how to stop it. If we remain silent against it, it takes us out. The plan is on and the plan is winning because someone's got the plan and they're executing on it. There's nothing more to really say about, so this thing is pretty self-evident. But part of this censorship thing that goes on, you can't have your thoughts and cancel culture and everything else, goes through. Remember that the economic attack, this is going to come up this week. I hope I get to all the tabs. I've been falling short on wrapping up the entirety of the pulling the net together to show you how it all pulls together, running out of certain things and not showing you the fruitions. And so we're going to continue from last week a little bit and then move on from there. But the censorship and the economy and how you're going to make it through monetarily is always under attack. And that's another, and again, they got to control what you do, and those that may speak out have to be controlled as well. And part of why I never got into doing anything with the monetization, I realized going through the 90s and into 2000, that's how they attack people. If you took money for anything, then they get you to, they call you the guru, and they go after you. And anybody who got that classification has spent lots of time in jail. And I said, well, that's certainly not the way to go. And besides, anybody who takes money, even you're beholden to the money, it seems. So there was no escape. But this is how they capture us up. Now we see an ongoing, breaking. Stripe calls Substack a restricted business, not eligible for payment processing. A Substack author showed more than a dozen emails from various officials at Stripe can detail Stripe's move to block payments to Substack authors. Initial emails accused the author of fraud for using a pen name. Latter emails accused Substack of being a restricted business, such as narcotics trafficking and arms trafficking, and hence not eligible for Stripe payment processing. So the point here is that the company that you're beholden to do anything or to get something from, has control. And I don't know how we're going to change all that. It's kind of always been that way. You're subject to whatever they offer. But here they're actually committing crimes in the form of defamation, I guess I should say. It's a crime of, a crime of honor, if you will. But let me just touch quickly, this author of fraud using a pen name. Again, fraud for using names is only if your intention is to use that for the purpose of a illicit act. Otherwise, it's not. So these people directly coming up and not using, again, as we see generally, YouTube doesn't censor people because they actually violate the community policies. YouTube itself violates their own policies. This is how the game gets played. Part of me says I don't engage all that. But we find that that's where, people flock to this stuff. So Substack is being hit. Those of you that flock there to thinking you can get some income, now Stripe attacks that. They do it fraudulently as well. That is not the only one. As we see, it becomes a moving target. Back to the PayPal. Fact checkers called it misinformation, but PayPal sneaked $2,500 fines on users back into terms of service. I said, delete your PayPal account. Delete the company, Substack. Delete the use of Stripe. You've got to look for other payment processors. It used to be not so complicated. But because of the way cancel culture works and no one really fights it, no one really amasses the focused attack back and challenge, which I would think is simply stated in an unconscionability claim together with the proof, would eliminate the policies, bring you down to what whether or not the question is answered. Is the policy itself that they're implementing fraudulent? Is their use of it fraudulent? Stands first before you have to get into the terms, as I understand an unconscionability claim. Again, you got to do all this stuff right. But fact checkers were wrong, as they are long are, that PayPal didn't have this provision of a $2,500 fine. Rechecking what PayPal did, they in fact did have it. And I give you a link that you can get the links to go see it. And I went to see them, and sure enough, the provision for the $2,500 fine is there. But the more insidious is how they get at you. Just a mere complaint can get at you. And then that's a minimum. If you look carefully, it's a minimum of a $2,500 fine. So just stop dealing with these folks. You, again, vote with your feet. And encourage people that are engaging these payment processors that do this to vote with their feet. 10 PayPal alternatives for privacy speech. I'm going to bring this link up forward to y'all. There was apparently there's more processors out there that can work. I mentioned in passing Cab Pay, I suppose, is what's there. And in fact, they are the top one. I do want to say I'm not underwriting any of these. I don't use them. I have no knowledge about them at all. But there are alternatives. And part of the game here is to keep moving. You be that mole, that whack-a-mole. You just got to keep moving with they try to whack you. You got to move on to someone that's not going to be whackable, or have to keep moving until you do find someone that's going to be immune to this censorship. But so I'm offering a link here. You get in the Blogcaster or over at SoundMinds. He'll have it listed in his notes, his description on where you can go to get this link to look and see what's available. I was surprised how many were there. It's kind of nice, kind of neat. Part of the reason why I don't use them is I don't have a bank account. So that's been a problem. It's going to be a problem. It's probably going to be a bigger problem now with the problems I have. However, that's the decisions I have to start making, and you have to make. How much do you engage? And so the other limit is, what do you engage in? I'm not going to jump over there quite yet, but that's that digital currency. Everyone's going to be shifting over. So everyone's going to put a mind to this. How are we going to avoid this inexorable move? This almost feudal resistance that seems to be non-existent if we try to act. To resist these types of incursions on our freedom, on our ability to do what we want. And I just keep reminding myself, it's a very interesting what I was pointing out to you about Charles Wiseman, a paper on false imprisonment. Some of you complained I was repeating myself. That was Wiseman repeating himself. My question to you is, after he repeats himself for 20, 30 pages, have you done something with all that repetition that proved over and over again there was something there? False imprisonment is the unwarranted restraint on your liberty. Sounds like a habeas, but it's a civil action. It's the oldest action of liberty restraint. I wonder if part of that could be placed in here, together with an unconscionability claim. So, just ideas more than anything else. How do we stop this, folks? It's not going to stop on its own. More and more payment processors are going to be coming online, as we understand that the big money is on it, sustainably, they tell you. They're green. Remember, the color of your skin is irrelevant. The green, the color they're talking about is green. The green has nothing to do with the grass. It has to do with money and the control of it. And there is no money. That's how they control you. But so we can get back to that, but I'm not going to go there. I want to move from there to the fact of our censorship in the front to another type of censorship where over time you get defamed and then it takes time to correct the record. And I've offered maybe keep your record straight from the beginning. And then take action before action gets taken against you. In this case, as a licensee in another country, but he's defamed, and ultimately the organized propagandists defame him over time, and then we'll see here that he actually prevails when challenged by a board in his own country. Facts check: French doctor making false vaccine claims is not former WHO VP. This was a Reuters discussion. Talking about Professor Christian Perrone, making claims about COVID vaccines that have been shared widely on social media users who say that he is a former vice president of World Health. They're pointing out not the same guy. What they do point out is that this professor was making claims. They then challenge this professor as to the validity of the claims counter to who, and they go on and talk about that. Ultimately, down the road, though, we have a challenge to the state licensor in that country that he had a license or he has an obligation to. Again, applique for a professions is an applique for another type of censorship and control. But Christian Perron made a comment, I was involved in the management of several epidemics and pandemics with different governments, and when I saw how the epidemic was managed since February, March 2020, I was amazed. I saw that it was completely crazy. That's why I spoke out in the media, but now I'm censored in the media. So not only was he censored in the media, but the professions board came after him in his country, and over some time, and him sticking to his guns, stating things in the record, where he ought to have done, by how he ought to have done it. Again, being supported in his authority, in his observations, in the law, he is exonerated in these claims that he misinformed the public, that his opinion shouldn't mean anything, that he didn't have an authority. The French once persecuted doctor triumphs over COVID repression. Another article here you get just to show you that it's there. This came out really quickly. I had to qualify. I didn't really, couldn't believe it in a way. The way some of this is speaking, it's hard to understand sometimes when an enthusiasm is speaking outside of itself. And so I try to go back again, I guess like a good journalist would, someone who's looking at an investigative reporter, you want to track things down. Well, I found the documents that speak to this, particularly the attorney. I finally found it, and it's a different language. So those of you who speak French may appreciate the links, because most of them are in French. I have one link to a translated portion that I could read. It's from the attorney for Dr. Perron in The Victory, and he goes through parts of the discussion on this case, and that started to validate the fact that this doctor has been exonerated on what he presented early on. And his expertise is pretty amazing when you look through what he has done. He did use, if you listen to what I just said, and maybe I went too fast, but I have to go kind of quick today, as usual, he used the word epidemic. He didn't use the word pandemic, and I took note of that. You should have, I think. I think you should have. Why? Because that's limited to a jurisdiction. It's not global. It's not a made-up term. Pandemic's made up by a private, non-governmental organization, the same WHO, the brokers of Pharma, relative to all this stuff and the terrorist action that's been taking place. And no one knows how to stop it. Do good doctors like this tried to come out and even question it? Well, interestingly, when you read what happened, the board inside, which I was a little bit shocked to see in a way, because of all the injustice that we do see, the board found, because he's been an expert and that was challenged, and because of how he said what he said, the factual, in the right context, in questioning the narrative, he had a duty to actually say what he said, and it could not ever be considered anti-vax. So this is a very important discussion here about a review board over a complaint. One was in defamation against another doctor who said that this Dr. Perron was defaming him. That fails too. So I've got a backup story on this as far as written by the attorney, as I understand the text, as I understand the story, the reports coming from it, validating and correlating that this is the fact of the point that this doctor was exonerated in his proceedings. And the attorney writes, the lawyer for Dr. Perron writes this in an article you get. I have the translated page for me. You can get the link too. The room disciplinary, and this is all in French, so I'm not sure how this actually works in translation, but the room disciplinary, which is the board upon which heard and determined the complaint, has even concluded, based on this whole thing, and in terms of its quality specialist, Dr. Perron had an obligation to speak up. And this harkens over to us in the United States, at least. There's a law. If you see a crime, you have an obligation to call it out. This is the one I talk to you about a lot. When you see it relevant to people and officials in the United States Code, titled 18 U.S.C. 4 and 3, or 3 and 4. You've got to look at it very carefully. One's a misprision of the felony of the other, which is where the misprision is where you heard or you saw of a crime complained to you and you didn't take it to the people who had the authority to do it. 3 or 4, one or the other, that's the one you take it to. And if they can't handle the complaint and it's a crime, they're supposed to move it to the one in the old government that can do something about it and do something about it. So we're having a major failure right up front on the officials right from the start. I've been pressing this whole point for years and years. I put it in every paperwork that we do. The official I'm talking to about a crime. I lay out the elements of that crime. And I say, now that you're told, this is subject to this. It's a federal oversight of criminal code. And this applies to all officials. It applies to everybody. There's a duty inside these rules as well to make that complaint if you see a crime going on. And so this is kind of dictating, yes, you're under that servitude, but this is the point. You can't be silent on crime. It just gets perpetrated. And there's a wisdom beyond time that understands if you let crime continue, it gets worse. And it just oppresses and becomes, well, just oppression, right? Just oppression. And so this doctor, this attorney goes to write about the discussion, and Dr. Perrone had an obligation to speak up. Quote, Dr. Perrone, the court is rendering here, the decision that says, as a specialist internationally recognized as an expert in the field in infectious diseases, was in the best position to understand the challenges of public health. It is expressed in the press about the action of the government, the pharmaceutical industry, and that it was legitimate to do so, and even had the obligation in this area that fell within its jurisdiction. It is bounded to wear publicly, but without invective, a dissenting voice on a topic of general interest. In addition, moving on into the text of the article, the attorney writes, in addition, according to the chamber disciplinary, it is not apparent from any of these parts of the file that at any given time he would have had a speech that was anti-vax. And so here I wanted to point this out, and all the stuff you can read about it. I think you need to read more of it. It's showing you that even the word jurisdiction pops up. This is an odd word to most people, but it's really relevant, absolutely relevant to what we're talking about. And how he's an expert here. What I wanted to caution us, we're all an expert when the law is broken. Once we see the elements, we have an obligation here to speak to it too. What I've been telling you about all this time, qualifying the duties and obligations of an official, and if you find they're derelict to those duties, that's a crime. So we have to speak out. We can't be crickets. I'm telling you, this place is wired that we can't be crickets. So back to this here. He was an expert. You're an expert if you understand. If you're an expert on your own life. If the government is supposed to give you due process, you're an expert in that you didn't get it. And you just have to delineate how, and it's in the black and white. It's the only basis we have right now in all this nonsense that we hear. But more partly to Dr. Perrone, he was viewed, notwithstanding all the fact checkers, that he wasn't an expert in the field. He, in fact, is one. In fact, that expert status gave him the duty. Now think about all the doctors that didn't step up. And the doctors that did, that got beat down. Think about that. As Elon Musk is now saying, when he carried that little sink into Twitter, let that sink in. Yeah, start letting all this stuff really sink in. Let it settle and think about what the ramifications of all of this crime has spun on and the abuse that people have suffered. And here's a court case that's telling us a ton on a standard that came from an administrative body. That his license and his experience meant something. That his statements, neutral statements on the facts, meant something. That they were done in public. This is the power of the press, if you want to reduce it here to the United States of America and our First Amendment rights, the freedom of speech, and also of the press, and to let each one of us know what the facts are so that we can make intelligent decisions. That's the body politic. Some of you say, I'm not part of the body politic. Fine. You can be ignorant. You still have a need to know. The fire, a conflagration, burns you as easily as the, but at any rate, as much as fast and as hard and as crispy as the next guy and gal. And this is what took over the world. Because why? Your local disease, your communicable disease law was not followed. Absolutely was not followed. And when this guy came out to say, hey, there's a problem, he got vilified. And look how long it's taken for him to get exonerated. I'm glad, certainly glad to see it. But this is what I told you would be coming if you stepped up. It would take some time, and then things start to change. As we also find, New York Supreme Court reinstates all employees fired for being unvaccinated, orders back pay. And this is very interesting, because if you look at this, I hope you pick it up. You should read this and pick it up, even if I'm not going to read it, but let me see here. Let me read it anyway. I hope you pick up what I've been saying inside the context. I even wrote it on Twitter to this, and I asked Robert Kennedy Jr., whether or not arbitrary and capricious meant that they were derelict. And he never answered me, but read for this. Read for what this court is saying. Read for what I've been saying, not in the same words, but in how the court treats the case, and where a New York State Supreme Court ordered all New York City employees who were fired for not being vaccinated to be reinstated with back pay. The court found Monday that, quote, being vaccinated does not prevent an individual from contracting or transmitting COVID-19. Talk about a money quote. Folks, there it is. There's your money quote. Being vaccinated does not prevent an individual from contracting transmitting the COVID-19. New York City Mayor Eric Adams claimed earlier this year that his administration would not rehire employees who had been fired over their vaccination status. New York fired roughly 1,700 people. New York Supreme Court has reinstated all the employees who were fired not being vaccinated. Back pay, saying that the rights had been violated. Their rights had been violated. So they're saying that generically. What were the rights? What they also say in the reports is that the court said it was arbitrary and capricious. Let me unpack that just a little bit. What does the communicable disease law of every jurisdiction say once there's a determination of infection affects its agent, but impose the duty upon the local official to prevent the demonstrated infectious agent? What does it say here? Being vaccinated does not prevent an individual from contracting or transmitting. Transmitting. Control. That's the other part of the communicable disease law. This New York Supreme Court said there was two things that the officials were supposed to do that none of which was done. Your rights were violated because none of this was done. They also say arbitrary and capricious. What's that? That's not following the law. Like I said, the black and white is required a duty upon the officials to follow. They're derelict. There's no authority. So unpack this a little bit. You heard the words. Does not prevent your mind. Those of you that have read the communicable disease law, the little light bulb should have went off. There it is. And then transmit. That's not control. That's another failure. And this court said essentially reading between the lines, when the government didn't do it that way, it's an act for arbitrary and capricious. And I asked Robert Kennedy Jr., I guess he's an attorney, does arbitrary and capricious mean there's dereliction of duty? Why didn't I get an answer to that? Of course it means that. But do you think these guys will actually tell you what the truth about this is? I don't know why they're not responding. That seems to me to be a simple answer. Why did it take all this time that the New York Supreme Court had to say that? It's my other problem. I've been telling you about this problem forever. This is not a system of justice. It had been a system of justice, Supreme Court, on its own motion, sui sponte, would have said, whoa, folks, you're jumping way too fast. Let's stop this pony right here. You don't have the right to be instituting all what you're doing unless you follow this law right here. We don't see evidence of it. Let alone those courts all implemented their own emergencies without finding an infectious agent. Another breach. And so here, this New York Supreme Court case is a big deal. And it speaks on between the lines, if you know what you're looking at, it speaks right to what I've been telling you, that something was supposed to be going on that never did, and the failure to do so and the actions from which were invalid. So we hear the truth coming. We also hear that inside the system, people were prone to give bad information. Somebody who becomes newsworthy this last week comes up right before this as well, not because of the New York case, but also mentions that he was kind of duped. And there's no real excuse for this because there's no duping to be done when you read the black and white. I told you this. How long ago have I told you, and I did it before it started, how you were going to go and check whether or not this thing coming on was valid? Was to go to the communicable disease law. This was not something to be duped about. But Rishi admits government was wrong to scare people during pandemic. What's the problem with that statement? As a title, the pandemic is foreign to all local jurisdictions. It's made up. Rishi Sunak is the guy who just got voted in as Prime Minister of the UK. But right before he gets put in, he makes this admission that he was kind of duped here. He was wrong. It was wrong to scare people. It was wrong for him to be involved. He was the treasurer of that country. He's an interesting dude. Like, what's his color? We're going to find out what his color is. People of color, I guess I should say. I don't know how that's relevant, but well, it becomes really relevant here. But people have his color wrong. Because he ends up being consistent with the problem, and he's looking like he's here. He's trying to avoid a problem coming on. It was apparently in the works that he was going to be their prime minister. The ex-chancellor said, Downing, the ex-treasury chancellor for UK, no less. What's his color here, folks? It's not CN, a shade of CN, I can just tell you that. The ex-chancellor said Downing Street ignored his concerns about havoc COVID restrictions would wreak on the economy and the schools. So he's taking credit for trying to be ahead. In a bombshell interview, he told The Spectator, I wasn't allowed to talk about the trade-off. The script was not to ever acknowledge them. He said the script was, oh, there's no trade-off because doing this for our health is good for the economy. I'm going to end there. You could read more how he explains this away. It wasn't about a trade-off because they had never followed their own communicable disease law to identify an infectious agent that could be prevented or controlled. You can't get to trade-off. This is where you I keep telling you, they're talking about the second step, if you will. They're talking about what to do, but they haven't, they've looked right past the fact they were supposed to identify something to do it to. So this is a false presentation trying to say, it wasn't me that caused all the harm, but there's a harm admitted. They were scaring people, as just as we were saying, behind the woodshed, and lots of other people were identifying. But he's talking second step right here. Rishi Sunak claims he was gagged over negative effects of COVID lockdowns, and scientists had too much influence. There should have been no influence. His answer is irrelevant. He should have turned around and said, we never followed the communicable disease law, and there wouldn't have been an argument. But he didn't go there. It makes it sound like he's some hero here. And I want to point this out because this is what this is how deception works. They offer you a suggestion that they were the good guy. In fact, they failed in their primary step. Maybe even in their existence at all. I don't know. Sometimes you got to look at that. Rishi Sunak had said scientists had too much influence over COVID decision making. There was no scientist that had an authority to put any influence over the local officials' required duties that the legislatures imposed. This is a false excuse. And I'm saying that to net right now because if I get to the end of these tabs, this guy pops up again in our recent past now to be a decision maker. And I'm trying to show you there's deception built into all this and how to identify it fairly quickly. And again, the other thing is we just don't say, oh, we can see the deception. We're going to have to figure out how to respond to it because people are going to continue to die around this. He says he tried to warn people off, but he warned people off on how to apply certain things to you. He just didn't. Apparently didn't like that people were feared. That would have never come to a pass if the officials had done the law. There's no fear to implement the law. So it's pretty straightforward. But when we don't implement the law, and we have a color of law, and the judges have a say, we get this kind of stuff, even though we're finding out Dr. Perrone was correct. Certainly, no one followed the communicable disease law, so anybody who didn't is incorrect. And I told you that the courts themselves, even though the New York court finds that the decisions of the local officials in mitigation were arbitrary and capricious because they didn't do anything that prevented or controlled whatever they thought it was. Even the false one, they couldn't do it. Understand that. But we have direct activity that affects you out of a constitutional duty, I guess, in a way, they claim. Prospective juror sent to jail without bond for refusing to wear a mask in a courtroom. I guess to cut to the chase, this juror, prospective juror, and they show you how it wasn't consistent when they had the group of people together, the jurors showed up. Not everybody was wearing masks and they intermingled. But when it came to the judge in the courtroom, he demanded a mask. He's the only judge that does so. That the juror was penalized for not wearing the mask. And I felt sad a bit. Had the juror went to the communicable disease law, he could have turned around and said, but judge, you're violating the law. You're not a health official that has determined that I'm going to have carrying an infectious principal, carrying an infectious agent, and you haven't gone through my doctor to tell me whether that mask is needed or valid. And so right here we see on an important function of the government by the people being a juror, we're told. You've heard my difficulties with that being that, well, at least in the United States, everyone's a commerce agent with your driver's licenses that are in commerce. That's the only ones that get picked. So that's your peers, so-called. But notwithstanding all that, an important function was interfered with by a judge on his private views of being insulted. He had no basis for that. And this juror did not present that and went to court. But that a false imprisonment looks good here, too. But here we have the judiciary, at least this one holdout judge, having no basis. And here we have, again, a color of authority. I don't know if this is going to be remediated. Contempt of court on the decorum of the court is a problematic thing. That's why I bring up the fraud. You're going to have to bring that forward. But here we have someone going into a courtroom with no clear notice to him. That was his argument. That wouldn't have been it was part of it, but the proper argument. There was no notice that he had to, and then he gets penalized for something that's a fraud. shows you the state of our society. This is a fundamental function of our system, having people to review the government's imposition of its what it says its authority against people that are alleged to be doing crimes, and the one to come in for review is then becomes not necessarily a criminal, but gets penalized for an arbitrary, again, an arbitrary and capricious imposition. If you think New York City, the government acted, you understand that the Supreme Court of New York just said these acts are arbitrary and capricious. I think we can say that that judge's acts are arbitrary and capricious. And I don't think there's too much argument with that. But the story still comes out. The gentleman still goes to jail for a while. But we're not doing our part to protect ourselves, what I've been asking you forever to do for yourself. And notwithstanding this evidence that we see New York Supreme Court says is the acts around this public health, purported public health emergency, are arbitrary and capricious. The response to it is does not prevent and does not control. Notwithstanding that, if you want to find out what your government, your federal government really thinks of you, and your local government already told you, they can care less about you. Not enough Americans are vaccinated, Biden said. So here's the point. The vaccination is the second step. Does Biden have the authority to even have that thought? I guess he can freedom of speech it, but does he have the authority to have the thought where federal authority falls silent because the health authority rests and is exclusively within the state? When you look at it from jurisdiction standpoint, the President of the United States has no say. CDC has no say. Certainly the WHO, the WHO, not the rock group, the owl, or the little people of Whoville, but the World Health Organization has zero authority. And look at the power that they gained, and nobody has stopped it. And I don't know that anybody can in some regard, except for we do see this covered statement from the Supreme Court of New York. I say that because they only say, they didn't delineate, at least where the reports I've seen, they don't delineate how, what the standard they used to say that they wouldn't prevent. If they took evidence that they didn't prevent, that was too far, because they actually should have looked to see that there was no infectious agent determined under the law. That would have been far enough. We don't hear that, see? Everyone's working in the second step. That's dangerous. You allow people that don't have authority the first step, what, give them an inch, they become a ruler, right? Is that what we hear? But not enough Americans vaccinated. Notwithstanding the arbitrary and capricious nature of this under state law, Biden still comes out to tell you that not enough people are getting jabbed. Notwithstanding what Dr. Perrone was telling is a problem, this president, is saying, you got it, there's not enough people getting vaccinations. He has no authority to say that. And even your local health official has no authority to tell that specific to you, as I've explained to you, when you go read your local communicable disease statute. Your doctor makes a report, if you are the one there, it's you. Your doctor makes a report that he suspects that this thing, and they're supposed to do a test, and the health officials are called in to do their test, supposed to be scientific, not the PCR. They're supposed to identify with an objective basis what's going on, and then they suggest what you can do. To keep what? To keep preventing it from spreading and controlling it, if they can. That's between you and your doctor. That's how that's supposed to work. That's where you get to say, well, I can't do the jab because it's, well, and you can't do a certain treatment because it's against my religion. That, you talk that with your doctor. They're not supposed to go against the state. This is not supposed to be a clampdown on everybody. But the President of the United States wants to pretend that he has the authority to do this, and he wants you harmed. Those that didn't want to get vaccinated could not lose their jobs, meaning, and that didn't prevent, that meaning that there's no authority to wish that more people should be vaccinated. It's not his place. Anyway, just show you, here's this guy. Again, I'm pretty sure he's suffering from some hang-ups. It certainly must be the people behind him. But this is not my analysis on jumping on him and his frailties. There's this body of law that suggests strongly counter to anything he could even say, let alone, do I have to look at who he is? That he's saying it is a problem. That he's saying it gives us indication he will breach the law, he will breach jurisdictions in order to get his way. And those around him will do the same thing. And I want to think in this regard, the word jurisdiction was in the New York suit. The word jurisdiction sits within the Perrone case. And so, why are we not looking at that? What's the confined authorities? Why don't we keep looking at that? And once we see a confined authority or a speaking someone is not within the confined authority, and they're outside of that, we don't have to listen to them no more. They need to be called out, though, because they can be dangerous like this guy can be. And that's not to disregard the guy who put this in play, delivered this weapons attack at warp speed. So don't think I'm playing politics here. This is really a time you have to settle back, get out of the politics mind. I know we're getting into everyone thinks it's election. We'll see. Where you see the stories popping up, people already predicting the future, apparently. The point being, it doesn't matter who's in office. They've got black and white duties to do, and if we don't start focusing there, they're going to continue to lead us down the primrose path. And we're not going to be able to survive this thing. It's going to be literally transforming, just like they say. All the wrong people are running the tillers. I even see people of celebritude to Twitter calling the local officials were fooled. No, they're not. I wrote it back as a Twitter. I wrote it back. No, they're not fooled. They're not leaders either. The leaders were fooled. No, they're not. They participated in this. And how did they do that? Pretty objectively, it's not my arrogant opinion. They didn't follow communicable disease law. They weren't fooled. They breached their duty to you. And what are we gearing up for? We'll say it again. I talked about it last week. What's this guy Biden want to impose vaccinations? What are we talking about? Well, we're talking about what was under the color of a treatment that was supposed to prevent and control that we now know doesn't, and it's not now. You heard it behind the woodshed. It was not made to do that. Novel things aren't that. They aren't that at all. They aren't dealing with organic material and organic organisms. Right? They're synthetic. They have to be. This was not even hard. It's kind of difficult when you got to, we all think that our government wants, you know, we're here, we're kumbaya with our government, but even us, the most jaded of us anymore, we want to believe that, but I've learned that you just can't. You got to flip it around the other way. Biden just wants everyone vaccinated. We found out how harmful they are. They're not his decision anyway. Even if they weren't harmful, they're not his decision. Let's put it that way. What was the underlying thing is, would it be prevented, and then do you consent? That's not between him, you, and Biden. That's between you and your doctor. Even the public health official is outside of that decision. All the public health official can do is say, here, we have a string of things that we think can work. Which one can you do? And if it's not enough, then they got to look. That's when we might jump into more quarantine-type ideas and this and that, but on a case-by-case basis, under protections of due process, which in part is the habeas corpus. But what does Biden want to do? The bioweapons expert Francis Boyle, a JD, PhD, said Biden administration new $88 billion nationwide biodefense strategy signals the U.S. is expanding its biological warfare industry for the purpose of waging biological warfare. Pretty straightforward. That's what Biden wants to do. That's what the vaccinations are. They don't prevent and control. What are they? Well, under these law, they're a bioweapon. And they don't have a dual use. When they didn't prevent and control, I told you this a long time ago, I hope you're getting excited, too, when you hear me say this and we can prove it out and you hear the words coming out of the courts, even though they were corrupt, they are corrupt, saying, oh, there's a law out there and the dereliction of duty to that law is arbitrary and capricious. Oh, yeah, we find out they don't prevent. Well, you think so? No, this bioweapons expert who wrote the law, I told you we're going to revisit this guy, Dr. Boyle, wrote the law about putting the teeth in the criminal nature, says, the money put in for bioweapons defense is actually an offense. And the dividing line is whether or not they can get the dual use. If they can show a public use, not a military use, but if they can show a benefit to a biological weapon, it falls in through the exception of criminality. It's no longer prohibited. That's what I told you, I explained it over and over again, what they were doing in the record, what Rand Paul even allowed to Fauci to do and didn't object correctly. All of those people having no authority over the exclusive right and power and prerogative of the state over health matters. Not over you, but only you when you were suspected, but also subject to due process protections. Nobody protected themselves, it seems. But gearing up for a fight with biological weapons is the old story I talked about. I want to bring it back up. It's relevant right here. This guy is saying that there's that WHO treaty that's going to break down stuff. Thank you for some of the emailers I've gotten and talking about addressing this. And again, talking to the senators. And one senator, in fact, had put a bill in and how I exposed to you or showed you how it actually, the bill is really unnecessary in a way. They need to make another sense. It's a much simpler statement that the states have authority, that the Senate has no authority there whatsoever, and their Section 4 of that law, as I explained, looks like it violates the Constitution, which does not extend to the Senate the ability over health matters, reserving themselves a right to decide over treaties of health matters. And so you got to look very carefully at what good people in the Senate may be wanting to do. You really have to understand the subject matter. And thank you for engaging all that, all you that are, whether I hear about you or not. But this is a big deal. This is rolling out, and this is, I told you this, the medical attacks, the medical martial law stuff is the worst that a country can defend itself against because of the prerogative power that the government has. Early, I told you this early on, and you watch what happened. I did this back in December, coming into January before it happened, a couple months before it turned on. And we walked right into that, and we were crickets. Operation Hindsight 2020 was a success from the government standpoint. It still is, for the most part, except we see that the courts are now coming back to say, no, all those acts are arbitrary and capricious. They're not supported by law. And then they tell you how. And they tell you the standard. The prevention and control was written right into every communicable disease center. Do you think they would help us by referring to that in the decision? Well, the parts I've seen, they didn't. Why not? Why not preface that statement of prevention and control by saying the local communicable disease law requires prevention and control, and these vaccines do not? So that we have a source for the statement in the sentence of the statement. And as I say that, that's how you should write. You should find the source of your authority within the same short sentence that describes the condition, the source of the authority, and then the statement that is consistent with that as a backup proof. If there's a prevention requirement and duty, you state that this law says a prevention is required. That was not done. Therefore, their acts are arbitrary and capricious. Or the omission is. So you start to learn how to speak a little better, but right into the black and white, that even if they deny you, anyone else can look in and see the black and white is what it said, and now we're knowing that we got a criminal in an official place. And what we do about that is a different question. And as we move this thing along, things start to come out and kind of show us the biodefense, the bioweapons nature, what they're doing in these labs is coming out. Researchers observe hybrid virus for the first time. A hybrid virus for the first time. Let's go back. You're supposed to determine certain things. If they've seen now this hybrid, so-called, for the first time, do you think it's evidence that maybe they don't know exactly what the realm they're in? That Mother Nature's a little bit more sneaky than they ever thought? That what they're prescribing to you may not be so set and science settled? When I see these stories, they're kind of creepy in a way, but it's kind of cool because we're getting to see stuff. But they also elicit in my mind something when I saw this. Influenza and RSV fused together to form a new pathogen, a new Scottish study reveals. A new study conducted by MRC, University of Glasgow Center for Virus Research, has for the first time, discovered the viruses can be fused themselves together inside human cells to create a new type of pathogen which can invade the human immune system. Does that sound like what we've been suffering all this time with after the jab, folks? Fuse. Right? What's interesting is they actually tell us that they found something they could actually see. It's a whole lot better than this virus thing, the SARS-CoV-2, which, again, is novel. It can't be organic. You just know it by the word. Patently, I say. Patently, there is no the virus. Patently. Because novel is patents, and patents is private, and private is patentable private property that's not natural by United States law, patent law. The researchers who published the paper on Monday co-infected human lung cell with an influenza A virus. That's the flu, folks. Sound familiar? And respiratory syncytial virus, RSV, and found that instead of competing, they fused into a new palm tree-shaped hybrid virus. Palm tree-shaped hybrid virus sounds like that Hydra, doesn't it? That was found, I think, was by the Spanish investigators. Understand also, we're looking at a different type of technology that I've been told about. I haven't studied it in any depth. That these are different forms of life. One organism that goes through different stages of its life. The Hydra form is a fungal form. You have the bacterial form, you have the yeast form, and then you have the fungal form. And so they may have seen where you get a influenza with this syncytial virus, which I spoke about before, the past whenever, I don't remember now, that they fuse, they actually are together. It's like they now form a cohesive synergy. They're just now seeing this, folks. The new hybrid was able to infect neighboring cells despite the presence of antibodies against influenza that are meant to block infection. Let me offer to you, they say they have, now that we know about jabs are not necessarily what they say, but they have an influenza A jab and they have an influenza B jab, but they don't tell you that they have a lot of other influenzas, which I was telling you may be out there that's very viral, they don't have an answer to. There's A and B that they say they have a vaccine for. There's others that are out there. They're just talking about that right here. They're talking about how it shapes up into a form as if it's a different shape of the same type of organism. In fact, viruses and these hybrids, these viruses are in different stages and they can come together like pollination and they create and they form and they grow roots and all this kind of stuff. The new hybrid was unable to infect cells. Well, we're now just kind of talking, what's the infection more than maybe just that hybrid RNA messaging, isn't it? Just like we're seeing with the jab. And so, it's a very interesting little story right here. I thought this was kind of cool. They saw the Hydra that I noticed and I just think that was a picture of the animal, a Hydra, that was sensationalized. But now that they're seeing that they can take two viruses and they join and they make this structure, I'm thinking fungal. A fungal form that was when two types of organisms got together, they started to grow. And they'll change form again. And maybe why you can't find them if you're looking for the wrong thing. That's another problem. As I've talked to you about when you're doing tests for measurement, if you don't have the right setup in your measurement or you don't have the right tools to measure the thing you're looking for, you won't see it. You'll not see it at all. Anyway, they saw this new cool thing, hybrid virus. It pulls together. Looks like a hybrid virus to a palm tree. It looks like a hydra. Okay, fine. I didn't see a picture. The point is it sort of described what we've seen in the past with people throwing stuff together. Saying, well, what's going on here? They don't know, folks. And yet, where are we back to? Are we back to the common cold? No. Are we back to influenza? Yeah. Yeah. And in the where? In the lung tissue. Yes. I know, correlation is not causation. But go ahead and keep telling yourself that story. At some point, the rubber's meeting the road. And you're either duped by all that, or you actually find out what's going on and stop it, or it's not there. And we have to learn better how to discern all that. And the only protection I know right now for official action, which can come against us, those little natural critters can get us. We have some of our own defenses, and we have our things we can do to mark ourselves healthy. We got our distance we can all make. We have made before. It wasn't an issue. Our hygiene. We have all that for ourselves. Our vitamins up, our minerals, our good diets, fresh air, breathing, maybe walking barefoot on the ground if you're into that. Whatever, sunshine, all that's there for us. On top of anything else that might go on, we want to make sure that when they do an artificial treatment, the government does with that awesome power it has, that it's not incorrect for us. All of which was destroyed. And we allowed as a people, we allowed all that. And what that was all done for, part of this thing, we keep talking about COVID and we keep, you know, the ramifications and the comorbidities and all the problems and the deaths. Actually, we don't know what's causing it, right? It could be one of these things. It could be something else because there is no real test. They have a symptoms test. They have what they think is going on. This interesting little statement, it was new, never seen before, is a problem for me. I hope it was a problem for you when someone says the science is settled. When someone says the science is so settled, they get to tell you, dictate to you what's to be done. When I know, and I have known, and this whole thing was imposed because or utilizing if it was an influenza C, D, E, or X version of a extremely viral variant of influenza that they don't want to tell you about, as I showed you coming into 2020, was in the news for 3 years before we got here. They were never talking about having a vaccine for that one. But what this was a setup using any of that as cover to bring in this fraud. The pandemic is a fraud. It's extra jurisdictional everywhere. That Dr. Perrone figured it out. He said, no, I studied epidemics. He never studied pandemics. He studied epidemics. Why? Because that's local to the jurisdiction that oversaw the complaint, right? That's all due process to him. But he spoke within the right words, so I can trust that guy because he's already talking the right words. But the whole point was a state official allowing an extrajurisdictional pandemic, in quotes. It's just a definition of a private corporation, essentially. We see it had a purpose to fear you all into doing this. Now, Rishi admits, oh, he was trying to stop that, but no, he really didn't, because he didn't say, wait a minute, our health minister didn't find that infectious, didn't demonstrate the non-fraudulent exigency. This was all a setup for a takedown. A lot of you that listen behind the woodshed know about this now. I've been talking about it for ages on different facets of it. Where this went was to implement something, and we hear more evidence coming out of that. And again, and not a fear, it's something you should know about that you start to avoid in your life. No different than anybody that wants to censor things, call you some kind of defame you, wrongly use the standards, call you a fraud when all you're doing is having fun with a pen name. No, not an intention to do an illicit act at all, but they claim that you are. That's a serious, you know, if that's a felony. On that claim, if this was in the street, they could try to do a felony arrest, and they could maybe get to kill you if you decided to fight back. If you want to understand how fast this goes wrong when it gets in the street. Well, we talk about it on the pages and the web pages and some accusation here and accusation there. If you see someone doing a felony and they resist your arrest, you have the right to defend yourself. These are serious things that we just kind of blow off because we're an ignorant population. But what this started to do, and we're seeing evidence of it now, U.S. citizens were given secret COVID decree violation scores. Voter analytics firm PredictWise harvested location data from tens of millions of U.S. cell phones during the initial COVID lockdown months and used this data to assign a COVID-19 decree violation score to the people associated with the phones. These COVID-19 decree violation scores were calculated by analyzing nearly 2 billion global positioning system GPS pings to get real-time, ultra-granular location patterns. People who were on the go more than often than their neighbors were given a high COVID decree violation score, while those who mostly or always stayed at home were given a low COVID-19 decree, gotta get that C in there, decree violation score. This doesn't sound all like American and apple pie and baseball. A decree violation. We talked about it. I identified it. I said, get rid of your phones, right? You turn off all that stuff they hand you is great, just amazing technology. It's a digital gulag. We're now here, and some of us knew this. They're tracking us for putting up what against a standard that we now find is arbitrary and capricious almost 3 years after the crime. How many people have died since then, too? But they're looking to impose what? Sesame, like China. They're imposing it now. They have been. They've been working up how to do that. Unbeknownst to people, and through their phones, who these people got the idea they could go ahead and do this is really kind of beyond me. The insult here is really beyond me. Where did that come when they said, when these people said, we can do this? And not ask anybody. We can do this. Insult them. We could defame them without their knowledge. Where did this come in? An evil that sits there in us. It's in us, folks. It's like the fallen nature. And when we don't, again, respond, there's a duty that when everyone sees a crime, they have someone to go tell, and that official, if they can't do anything about that, is supposed to turn it over to someone who can do something about it, or at least investigate it. U.S. citizens were given a secret COVID decree violations, social credit, folks. Keeping track, ultra granular, right down to where you were GPS, and then we know they use your Bluetooth. That's even more insidious. That's a private mesh network. Way more insidious, in my mind. MasterCard just outlined its digital ID push. Where was this going? What was this? All this nonsense? Tracking and tracing through the fraud of COVID, the mitigations of which or the control and preventions are now found to be arbitrary, capricious. And when you look at that, that means they had no authority when they talk about it not preventing. Why would I say that? Because they weren't also saying what the infectious principle really was. Also a duty. And again, that's why I say there's a fraud of omission by the court, the Supreme Court of New York. But unless I missed it, and they say it, I could miss stuff. Maybe someone can identify where they say it. So they talk in these backhanded ways that your officials were derelict in their duty. And if you knew that up front, maybe that's a bigger red flag than what they soft pedal as arbitrary and capricious. No, your officials caused murder by not following the law. And then you got dinged for being tracked and traced while there was no validity to what they were doing. But it's not even about that, because they're just running the system in order to get you here. The MasterCard just outlined its digital ID push, which I was telling you was coming. You think it's the Bitcoin and all that, it's going to be tied in to a digital reserve currency that keeps track of all this stuff. And it's going to take years if it's found. Once the system gets locked in, you'll never find the fraud that's against you. We see this one when the new ones come, the endless diseases that are coming, the endless bureaucratic oppression and tyranny, it won't be findable. At the Authentic 2022 event, MasterCard SVP of Digital ID Sarah Clark detailed the company's digital ID plans. Clark detailed MasterCard's, listen, I told you this word, MasterCard. You are not the master. MasterCard. That system, I was telling you, I couldn't quite understand where these folks are going to be. They're going to be the middlemen to where? To your digital currency, to the Fed, which is another private instrumentality, which has a direct trust relationship to your life. Tracked and traced, and if you don't, your decree violations reach a certain amount of violations, they just cut you off. And it's gone. And interestingly, watching this thing with Twitter and Elon Musk and what's going on here about the accounts being able to come back, think about that. You're banned, but you're not erased. You can be brought back at any time, apparently, without much interference. They know who you are, that you were. I hope people realize what's going on with that. So I've been watching that pretty interesting. People are coming back, oh, I got all my followers. Those never went away. You were banned, but you were not erased in a digital system, which is just like this, your ID. And they're going, and we're going to hear, they're going on the national. In fact, I'll go there now. As I look up, national ID. Digital ID clears congressional hurdle amidst fears it could be politically abused. Could be. Real ID, folks, does that all sound familiar? Where does it get your real ID? Through your commerce connection, through your driver's license that says you're a business using the road to commerce, which is exclusively power of the Congress to regulate. They have, the Supreme Court diminished, if not destroyed, the distinction between intrastate and interstate. The digital ID system. Well, do you think that's different than the MasterCard ID system, ultimately? You think that's going to be different than what they're using for the Fed coin? The digital money? Do you think, folks? Have you got any idea how this is going to be different? And if it's not going to be different, this should really, really concern you. And we really have to begin to start engaging in the alternative, which at this point is even the fiat cash, or maybe better, get into silver and gold coin and try to work that out. National digital ID clears congressional hurdle. National ID is not going to be different than what's going to be the token, your token life. When we heard that word token, you're the token, what? The token ethnic. They set you up just like this. The servitudes are just like this. You think you went free, the freed people. Look at the 14th Amendment. It's just nothing but exactions of every kind. If you don't think that's what social credit is, the digital gulag is. National identity clears the congressional hurdle. What are they here talking about this for unless it's going to be implemented? The national digital ID system for the United States citizens is fast becoming a reality following a vote by the United States Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee to advance the Improving Digital Identity Act. Digital IDs act as online data-laden representations of human beings, you animal. Many analysts, such as the authors of the 2019 McKinsey Global Institute report, argue that they could be a key to unlocking access to financial services, various governmental benefits, and educational opportunities, as well as a number of other critical services. Some of the same analysts, however, also warn that the risks of potential for misuse of digital ID are real and deserve careful attention on top of the hackability and all this other stuff. But it's not even all that, folks. This is that your life being controlled by some bureaucrat somewhere and whether or not you follow the digital decrees or not. And so I don't know what more to say. This is, I've been saying this is on its way. Here it's been worked on. They're actually passing committees. And our, as a people, we're silent against it. Silent against it. What I want to point out, and I don't know how you're going to get around this because you'll just be presumed it, that U.S. citizen they talk about, that's a certain status. If you're not going to be one of those, and if you can show how or be avoid being one of those, then likely it's not going to apply, but you're going to find yourself in rarefied space unless there's a lot more of you in mutual understanding and help and action to avoid all this. Here it is. Now this real ID is going to turn into this national ID. And if you think that's different than the MasterCard ID, ultimately, then you're deluded, you're missing the point. And your resistance, your verbal or mental resistance to say I won't, isn't going to be enough. Now, I'm looking at that right now, not being out of it so much. I'm looking even before this even comes in. Having to reintegrate has not been an easy look at what's going on. Because there's not enough support. I certainly expected more support that we wouldn't have to rely on the system so much. But this is how they get you. You're technically controlled even though you're outside the system because there is no other system and nobody sustained another system. And that day for us to have to do that is here, and we're going to have to come very quickly, though I really don't know how that's going to work. It's been made so convenient for people. And then we found out we have freedom of speech and we forgot we have a duty to act, I think. And so we were talking last week about how this comes on. What was this all about, digital IDs and this? This has to do with sustainable development. Has to do with the Agenda 2030. We were there. We've been there the whole time. COVID is just a tool, a weaponized tool. Climate change is the same thing. All this stuff is the same stuff. We were talking, and I moved away, and I left 10 players on the field last week coming through the climate police. You think it was that we were talking about the Winnipeg and that the installation up there, going right after the production of your crops and things in Winnipeg. The climate green police, there's your color now again, but it's not green. Remember, it's not green of the grass. They're the green police, and you're going to have a green, you can see a green ruler over there in UK, but the green is not the color of grass, and we're not people of color. The sienna type, we're looking at a different type of green, and green means something else that underpins this entire control grid, and I just went through it, where this stuff goes through with the acknowledgement. There's a national ID clearing committees right now, that the MasterCard's on the lead of it to engage all this, and then the digital tokenization, and don't underestimate the power of your phones to be you the connector. And I've said, I've tried to get you to understand, you're going to have to either avoid your phone or avoid the acknowledgement that you have one. And part of that phone is also the acknowledgement that you're that U.S. citizen that can be controlled. And all that, remember, is in commerce. So how we end up going on an individual basis, non-dependent part is going to be more difficult for me to try to see for everybody because I don't see the response. I was hoping for a response long before now to get us on that path, but we're coming up to a very steep learning curve, very steep. I'm getting back over to that climate police. It wasn't just in Canada. I wanted to understand, and there was a whole lot more tabs we're going to go to now. You have been immersed in it, as I've been saying. All the laws were there long before. In fact, thank you. A couple of emailers writing on this for the last few weeks, identifying this for yourself, seeing it for yourself, as I've been saying it myself, that's all there 20, 30 years before. They just placed the mines out. I told you about the Modernization Act in the United States, federal, back in 2010, and then about 10 years or so later, 15, 20 years later, they pop out. A lot of our stuff right now for property rights was put in place in the 80s in the local jurisdictions of the United States. To now, we're seeing more. Now we're going to go global. It didn't stop at the French-speaking areas. Just outside the French-speaking areas of Kanukistan in Winnipeg, but it's going to be global now. Interestingly, consistent with this, this ongoing language, but at any rate, the ESG, Gestapo, France Armed Climate Change Police as well. All at the same time. This is another, I don't know, today I'm talking, if you will, of climate change in a way, and last week, it's just now the news is turning from the other weapon of the fraudulent health emergency, which no local jurisdiction stopped, which they had every power to what it's always been. The main tool is climate change because that puts fear on a global scale that's outside of even a COVID. That's really more manageable. It's more the science is more settled because it's less, there's less to really argue. There's more to cover themselves up relative to those they can vilify and deny. As I told you last week, we had some scientists come up, and a bunch of scientists have made thousands of pages of proof. They want to silence those people as well to show that there's at least the science is not settled. If you have two scientists with a contrary view, the science can't be settled. And that's one of the powers you're going to have, is to be able to bring that forward. But in the meantime, the systems that have been put in place to infect things like climate police are now being implemented, now in France. French authorities have tabled another green, adding green police to the ranks of the gendarmes. The Brussels News relayed how French Interior Minister Gérard Darmanin, plans to have gendarmes, police officers trained in attacks on ecology in each gendarmerie's brigade. Darmanin called it a revolution. See, you're not having one, so they are, and it's to transform your society. The green, here's your color, but understand that has nothing to do with the grass, color of the grass, and environment at all. What the environment they're talking about, their trend, climate change is the subject matter of politics. The climate they're changing is the political climate. What underpins these things is economics or the financial or monetary sphere. The color green relates to the bankers. So UK, listen up to what's gone on over where you are. However that's going to continue, I'm not sure, but here we have this ongoing, we see the agenda. We talk about it being WEF, Klaus Schwab. You know, this is underpinning all of that. All these things are all consistent. And if you start to see through all that, you realize we're not dealing with the environment. They conflated pollution to environment, trying to believe that they can tell you that they knew about the Earth's dynamic system, which is about impossible to my mind. At some point, maybe I got a pea brain, but at this point, they are proving they are too enable. Unable. Everything's a discovery to scientists, it seems. We just found out, influenza combines with another virus to make a hydra. Oh, well, that looks like a fungus. Oh, no, it can't be a fungus, because that must mean that maybe it's a different life stage of a life form. We can't admit to that. But the green gendarme's primary purpose will be fight against the damage to the environment. And when you start understanding what they mean by that and what causes that, you, my listener, you understand this is a war against you. The revolution is against you. So I want to bring up France, climate police. All of a sudden just pop up. They just pop up out of nowhere in this time, right? I told you here it was coming, but here they are. But they're coming as a military. They're coming as armed. They're coming with their own headquarters. They're coming with a mandate that's not been proven at all. It's a fraud, another type of fraud. It's another fraud. And I want to remind us all, in particular for Kanukistan, particular for wherever you have lands that are agricultural, don't let them come out or restrain them from coming out when your lands start to freeze up. As I reported this before, I'll bring it up again here. Nitrous oxide emissions from corn belt soils spike when soils freeze and thaw. Nitrous oxide may be less abundant in the atmosphere than carbon dioxide, but as a greenhouse gas, it's a doozy. A greenhouse is a fraudulent. The earth is not sealed. It's not a greenhouse. And so this is a fraudulent framing to cause an ability to actually have a suggestion that what they have, what they're saying has any plausibility at all. But at any rate, so let's go with it. Nitrous oxide is a doozy here with a potency 300 times greater than CO2. Remember, NASA proved to themselves that CO2 was a mitigating or cooling gas. It absorbs infrared energy if it's in the atmosphere. So it's all topsy-turvy from what is actually the facts, but these people that have a mental problem, they're going to push their fear upon you, and you have the right to have the ability to say no, but most of us are not, and I'm asking us to start paying attention so we can stay ahead of the official that comes with this same psychopathy. Nitrous oxide warming potential, especially via agricultural, demands attention. Well, like I said, the CO2 is a cooling effect. It absorbs infrared energy. So what's the story on that? Well, you got to do the study and find out that these people who talk this way, it was before the jab, but I think it has to be a jab harm here, and continuing. But before that, there must have been something in the water. These people are defective that have come up with this. So we have to be careful. We're dealing with the insane are running an asylum at this point. But for those of you that are in ground, agricultural ground, and these climate police who are focused on your ground will be out when your spring thaw hits, you better try and keep them off of your land until after. Because if they're looking for nitrous oxide, they will find it, and they know that. And so maybe those of you with agricultural land that's going to face this nitrogen fixation should be aware of this stuff. Why I'm mentioning it today is the climate police are invading your agricultural lands to ultimately starve you out. If you have too much so-called nitrogen, you're not going to want to be able, they're not going to let you put any fertilizer, and they're going to go test you at the rightly at the wrong time, and they're going to find that you are a bad, bad farmer. And this is the same problem I told you about the concrete processing plant, where they were testing the official agency was testing the air coming out of the stacks, and the company was zero emissions, done everything they could do, and they were, except they couldn't get this last little bit, and they deemed that they had to shut down the concrete plant, and then we got word of it, and my colleague looked at the problem, and he says, well, they're not doing it right. And what turned out to be, they weren't measuring the intake air to find out that nature, the air, had excessive mercury in it already. It was just an atmospheric thing. You couldn't get all the mercury out. And this is the kind of thing they do. So there's some people that know this science. They wrongly apply it to take you out if you're ignorant. And so when that was found out, it kind of threw open the whole, again, where was the science? There's no study there. They didn't do a proper study. And then it was deemed, because there's a limitation on costs of implementation, that they had done plenty, plenty. The same thing here. They come out and they measure your land when it's thawing and they find nitrous oxide. They say that you had too much nitrogen, and when in fact, this is just a natural occurrence. This is the nature of chemistry and physical science. Moving on, climate change cops, don't laugh. Democrats have such an enforcement group inside reconciliation bill. So again, hidden inside these bills, they come pushing them along. Democrats, what's that mean? United States, you think it's over in France? You think it's in Kyrgyzstan? You think it's only there? You don't think they've been working on all this? It's not just Democrats, though. The political party is a part of it, but they're not the main part. They've just been infiltrated. It's like the Democrats that move over to the Republican Party, and you wonder why they act like Democrats. And then we have the Republicans that come in, and we call them rhinos. Republicans in what? Suits only? What is that? In name only? What is that? Okay, so this is, or the Democrats, same way. So this is the fraud that goes on in front of us that contaminates our processes, however we might believe or disbelieve in them. They're still there to do things. But the inside, you think that it's just happening in other countries, they're already running the climate change police inside legislation for us to experience, I guess. You cannot make this up. According to Representative Jim Banks, a Republican, I guess it's Indiana, conveniently hidden inside the Senate reconciliation bill is an $8 billion albatross, which would create a civilian climate corps. Think of a bunch of snowflake environment wackos with enforcement authority. Boy, oh boy, think about that. You better really deeply think about that. Banks noted that when far-left neo-Marxist Republican Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, how much I think about these people, started talking about the so-called Green New Deal a few years ago. Most people with more than a couple of brain cells that leaves out most leftists laughed it off. Well, I didn't. And this is the problem about bringing it forward. Let me go back up to the Civilian Climate Corps. This is like the old deal, the Conservation Corps, the CCC of the 30s. This is now focused on this climate corps. And again, it's about changing your political climate and reinforcing the transformation. A climate police department or climate militia from the federal government is what's inside this bill. So if you think Kyrgyzstan and the backwater of Kyrgyzstan is too far away, no. It's coming to a place near you, anywhere it is. In the United States, it's already being worked on. And if you didn't think there was a connection to what I was saying, what that green is, green's not the color of the grass. It's certainly not the people of color. It's the color that they use that's going to be driving this entire thing. The world runs by so-called money or its exploitation. And so we see here the climate police occupy Wall Street security, and then look at who it's relevant to and relative to your digital currencies. With like Bitcoin, as I told you, they are going to become securities, not coins, but here it is. Tied to this climate police and Occupy Wall Street, these investment people who really plunder the system and drive prices totally by whim, another arbitrary and capricious thing. But the Securities and Exchange Commission on Monday, March 21st, released its proposed rule that require every registrant publicly traded company to provide more information about climate-related risks that are reasonably likely to have a material impact on its business operations or financial condition. A registrant must report three types of information: the magnitude of the probability of a financial loss if it could incur due to physical impacts of climate change. Now, if people realize that wasn't the weather, they might actually stay able to state something that rule then exposes that they are susceptible to an unknown risk, because climate change is the transformation of the very establishment that they've created their business under. Because we're talking about politics. We're talking about how they would even function. You're watching that question shows you there's no stability or certainty in the future system. The business owners have no control over this. Number two, the company's transition and liability risks, the financial losses it may incur as climate policies devalue or strand corporate assets in courts and compel the firm to pay climate change damages. That's a prediction, folks. If you don't understand how expensive life is going to be under this tyranny, the company's greenhouse gas emissions, which have become a commonly used metric to assess a registrant's exposure to transitions and liability risks. It's all about risk, but here, how can you make that assessment on a fraud? But understand it's already in the government. It's within the Securities and Exchange Commission that's going to be overseeing regulation of that Bitcoin. All part of this construction that makes Bitcoin not a currency, but actually moves that power back into the digital currency of the Fed coin. Yours is an asset that suffers the decree violations, and theirs is the one that controls the rest of your life, whether it exists or whether it doesn't. And what I find interesting as well, we hear what's shocking along this climate change, along with reducing or this fraudulent, imposing this fraudulent greenhouse gas frame of reference, which doesn't exist. I don't see one anywhere in reality, but that's what gets proposed, and that's what the fact checkers believe. Again, this is a mental illness, I'm certain. And yet, they rule the world right now, so I don't know what more to say than that. It's interesting what's called shocking, and I'm going to diverge just a little bit, and I'm going to get back to this piratic climate change imposition on our lives and preparing you when you're little in the future, but moving into what they claim in the news is shocking. A video shows 4-year-olds being trained to use AK-47s and anti-tank grenade launchers in Russian kindergarten. And I want to go through the story. There's the title. You can see some pictures. They got all kinds of military weaponry. Young, it looks like four to five-year-old little boys and girls all looking at this stuff. In some regard, I don't know if I have too much of a problem with that, actually. There was a time in this country, by the time you were 5 or 6, you were actually shooting game for the dinner table, because you understood what it was about, and you weren't reckless like our society is today. But if I look at Russia and say, boy, they're really being focused now, we hear all this noise about nuclear, this, that, and the other saber-rattling nonsense. Those people don't take that lightly. Their population is prepared. So if you familiarize young, and you treat them young, and you expose them young, they'll be more familiar, less scared, less feared, more capable, ultimately, when they get down. Remember, 5 years old, in 13 years, they're going to be likely being brought before a military to shoot those weapons in defense of what their thought is defense of themselves. So maybe this is not too soon to start, but that's shocking, folks. We teach a 4-year-old, expose a 4-year-old to an AK-47. What I found not shocking in the reports was a school in the Netherlands begins serving mealworms and bugs to children to combat global warming. The kids now become frontline soldiers to combat global warming, and that's not shocking. What's shocking is showing some kids some hardware that ultimately will be used to kill people in defense or in offense. But what's not shocking is that we force our kids to combat global warming, a fraud. in Netherlands. Remember, I keep telling you, watch the Netherlands. It's going to be prominent. It predates us as a nation in the United States. I cannot find the payment. There's a debt owed to this place. And it's the front line. Somebody was saying that they're, I don't know if it's one of the stories I have, they were saying that they're following, bowing to, the Netherlands is bowing to the climate change, to this sustainable development. No, they're leading it. They're part of it. Schools in the Netherlands are now force-feeding children mealworms and bugs in a bid to reduce meat consumption. As a part of the WEF, the World Economic Forum's economic green, folks, not grass, green. As a part of the WEF's Great Reset Agenda, humans are being encouraged to eat synthetic meat because bugs, quote, consume fewer resources than traditional livestock. All right, so they don't care about throwing your little ones as a soldier to now combat. It's not shocking that they're force-feeding your kids mealworms in the Netherlands, but it's shocking that Russia exposes their four-year-olds, five-year-olds, that will, in 13 to 15 years, be actually holding those weapons in defense of themselves. That's shocking. But force-feeding mealworms to combat fraud is not shocking. Should be shocking to you. Shocking enough to not be just standing there with your mouth agape, actually figuring out, well, what is this thing that they're force-feeding now here that's coming, that's already home to roost? And my mind turned when I saw their plates, Michelle Obama's little, their new upgraded meal system in those same little plates. It just didn't have the bugs yet. I have a video, watch children fed bugs in school. It's from Rumble. You can just watch it. Blows just stuff. Just have to see some of this stuff to believe it. What kind of abuse on these children are going on? That's not shocking, and showing someone how to defend themselves or what may come to bear. I'm sure 4 and 5 year olds don't even know what they're looking at. The exposure doesn't seem to bother me. I've seen in my history, we were young when we were exposed to all this stuff. Didn't mean that. In some cases, for my case, it didn't mean that all of a sudden I became some mass murderer. I certainly felt more comfortable and more capable. It actually took away, if there was a fear, it took away apprehension. And that's what they're doing to the kids, force-feeding them to be the soldiers combating a fraud, global warming, imposed by non-governmental psychopaths, essentially. And we see now this fact in the States again. It's been happening. I've been talking about this for decades. I started to see this before I even started broadcasting. It's how I could come there immediately and start talking about it. Well, 2009, we're talking about I'm identifying the pig's fly flu, the beginnings, if you will, of what they do now, the COVID. It's all the same endless disease they make up. It's all the same fear-mongering they do. Oh, the world's going to the environment's going to destroy, when in fact they're the ones that's destroying the environment to say that. Again, the self-inflicted wound. Anybody who sprays aerosols into the sky or proposes to put aerosols, fly ash no less, coming from those coal, using the coal byproducts, fly ash into the atmosphere to cool down the atmosphere, has got to be put somewhere in a mental institution. And they're not. That presupposes they know. They have perfect knowledge here. You tell me someone who has perfect knowledge. Not on this planet. Accelerating our progress, progressives, progress towards a sustainable future through Vanderbilt Education website, pointing out the continuing plan, like no different than John Hopkins, all these folks in academia, on the front line, the ambassadors, the trainers, these people that are the future global leaders, all with this mentality, all with this mental harm that they've been impressed with. Probably maybe because they got fed bugs when they were young and we didn't hear about it, but anyway, they got maybe fed some other things that was mentally harmful to them, abusing the little ones. And that's not shocking. It blew me away. That's not shocking. Accelerating our progress toward a sustainable future. Climate change is one of the most serious threats faced by humanity today. That cannot be supported. what climate change as a political motion is a serious threat. I don't know if it's faced by the animals, the humans, but certainly of mankind in their social orders, respective social orders. As an institution whose mission is focused on improving social for future generations through research, education, and innovation, remember all these code words, it is imperative that we turn to sustainability of our own university operations as a catalyst for innovative solutions to address the problem of climate change. The problem of climate change now is that you're resisting a bit. They haven't figured out how to transform your politics quite that much. That's what they're in here, to soften the target up. That's what the university system does. Remember, it was one of the aiders and abettors to our lawsuit in 2013, suing the Bar Association, the political parties, and certain people in government for their treasonous acts to support sustainable development, which climate change is a tool, a weapon to advance. University systems are the background that the university system also includes the law universities, which bring in the legislation that I tell you they put into place in pieces and parts, and then someone in the back, like an erector set, pulls all the parts together to later implement when the memory of that goes away, 10 to 20 years later, or when the condition is right, when they've transformed the, soften the target up, the populace up enough to receive it, then it pops out. We move in through this Vanderbilt Climate Innovation Accelerator. These are all code words. Political Innovation Accelerator. Okay? Warp speed, folks. The Climate Innovation Accelerator is the first of its kind Nashville initiative that engages an inclusive network of local universities, small businesses, and nonprofits to advance the city's leadership initiatives toward a climate positive future through a 10-week, no-cost cohort learning journey, cohort, like in collaborators. That's who they shoot after the war gets, the land gets taken over. I hope you heard all of the words of kumbaya there. This is done right in the middle of Nashville. There's a lot, Nashville's like a hub, another hub. I think it's an East Coast hub for this stuff. Remember all the words here, innovation, solutions, again, nonprofits are involved, advance the city's leadership. They're not supposed to be in leadership, actually. But they have global leaders, don't they? So this is all consistent that Vanderbilt University is pushing and driving this. These things are happening in every state. The university system has their programs, and they go into and they promote to certain places that are influential. In this case, Nashville, Tennessee. Vanderbilt and Nashville undertake a bold new renewable energy partnership to address climate change. A fraud. When you find out that the Tennessee Valley Authority and Nashville Electric Service is involved in a collaboration, you should be terrified. This is the United States government right there, looking at another instrumentality of the United States government, already implementing something that people, as the other article said, laughed off. Something I've been telling you, you better not laugh off. It's going to come a steamroller really fast when they get this thing worked out. In a way, this is just more ongoing thing. They got carbon neutral net zero resilience in their title. I'm saying that particularly as I move on, hopefully I can get to this, some of this stuff, shows you the consistency around the world, around leaders. There's not a leader in this country. Like, no jurisdiction stopped COVID by following their own local law. There's no leader that's not accepting of these types of ideas. In other words, they're all accepting of a transformation of their politics. And they are the world leaders to move that for their jurisdiction and the people that are allowing that. We hope that this groundbreaking partnership between the government, business, and universities will be a model of innovative collaboration to address the most important issues of our time, said Chancellor Danielle Dimeyer. The collaboration in this sense with a federal agency involved means they are the lead agency over all of this structure, and they have the final say, and they have your local jurisdictions in buy-in, and you don't have a say, actually. This is where the processes will work. If they have their meetings, they make their record, because there's no opposition, that they fulfilled at least the due process that was to give notice to y'all. No one said no. If they did say no, the record won't show that there was an improper discussion. They move it through administrative processes. They stand in law. No one asserts their savings clause provisions of protection, and so it moves on and moves forward. And if I just said about five things that you've never heard before, and don't understand what I said, that's how far behind our population is in stopping this. I just gave you 5 points that they do to destroy in you that we don't respond to. And if you didn't understand what I just said, I'm telling you, this is why I'm looking out in the world and I really don't know about us anymore. These folks are so far ahead. We talk about the Hegelian dialectic and all that. They're so far ahead in that. That's the crumbs for you to follow and chew on while they are actually taking you out already. But moving on, right here in Nashville, Tennessee, they're moving a federal institution in, and this goes through the EPA as well, because that's the one of the EPA is the pillar of sustainable development for the United States. If you don't understand that, you know, talk about Elon Musk saying, let that sink in. Yeah, let that sink in. Really think through how far behind that we are on all this stuff. Why we see all of a sudden even the so-called Democrats are said, you're not hearing any Republicans really stop it on point, like they didn't stop this fraudulent, non-existent pandemic. I say non-existent because local jurisdictions only can see up to epidemics. No Republicans stopped any of this. Oh, they talked a bit. DeSantis is talking. Oh, he takes credit for now stopping, but he never stopped it. He never identified it as a fraud. He's part of it. They all are part of it. And I'm saying that not because, everyone's a criminal. No, there's an objective basis to say, if you're an official, you had some parameters to follow and you failed. How'd you do that? How do you continue to do that after someone behind woodshed tells you? This agenda's moving on in a breakneck speed. The man who invented climate change and influenced Schwab's Great Reset agenda was an interesting article to come back up. Someone is reminding us where this comes from, so I appreciated it. Kind of brought me back to how I got tracked onto this. Well, I just want to give you a name you can read. You want to start understanding more of how long-winded this thing, how long-standing it is, who's involved, and more of the history to tie it together so that you just have a perspective. It's important to have that historic perspective. You can read this article. It's a shortness of the whole thing, but it gets you in all the parameters, and I just want to mention Maurice Strong. He's like the grandfather of how this thing goes through, but actually and ultimately it comes out of the Club of Rome thoughts back in the 54 area, and I think that's where he comes through as well. He gets special favor, and I think in Kanukistan as well. They name a bunch of people here. I'm going to go to one name in particular because it's kind of neat, an interesting word correlation. But understand, the man who invented climate change and influenced Schwab's Great Reset, Schwab is not the beginning. He's also not going to be the end. He's just a part of the expression. He's not even really the problem, because if we looked local to our jurisdictions, there should be checks and balances against all of this that none of us are really bringing out and standing on. We'll read that one name here in a list, the top head, the tag. According to such Great Reset luminaries as Bill Gates, Prince Charles, Michael Bloomberg, Mark Carney, and Klaus Schwab, humanity is expected to solve the dual threat of COVID and global warming in one revolutionary sweeping reform. We can go through, read all this. It's understanding why we're here. They talk about the City of London Corporation. That's money, folks. The WEF, World Economic Forum, that's money. We just did go back to Mark Carney just because it was kind of interesting little thought that I had. They're all focusing on net zero. They're focusing and explaining here in this article about China being involved, where I hope we can get to today to show you what's going on and the consistency with all this across the board. It's all focused on climate change, and I'm saying that climate means the subject matter of climate change is the subject matter of transforming political societies. Your body politic is being destroyed in favor of this thing. And we may be not like what we have here in the United States, so it's certainly not functioning under the law because we're not focusing on making sure that happens. But I'm not so sure we should be so absent-minded to think that this transformation is going to go better. Even if we don't like the one we have, that we never really stood up in our duty to stop the crime against us and let that slip away too. As I've been trying to get us to understand, we need to get practiced in how to do that. But this is an interesting report. The man who invented climate change, we talked about getting to Maurice Strong, the grandfather of this whole thing. I don't want to leave out I can't remember the name now, it just slipped my mind. What kind of starts this out is like a think tank. How do we scare people in every aspect to get them to capitulate? One word here, the gentleman in the story, Mark Carney, the word Carney popped up. And spelled Carney with an IE, he spells a little bit different, is an EY, Carney. is an informal term used in North America for a traveling carnival employee, and the language they use, particularly when the employee operates a game, a joint, a food stand, a grab, a popper or floss wagon, or ride jock at a carnival. The term showy is used synonymously in Australia. The carny that I understand was this carnival barker, carnival guy, and you go to the carny and they try to entice you into doing those little competitions that are all seemingly fixed. But what was interesting to me is I hadn't really realized, I did know about it, but it didn't, in the context I'm reading about what the Sustainable Development Crew does, the psychopaths, they use a special language. And the word carny in that list of people was indicative of this carnival that they're running on us, the scam, the setup that they're running on us, and they're using the special language. And once you, and they say in these articles, if you don't understand it, it sounds bizarre to listen to these words. You don't even know what people are saying. And that's exactly what's going on. In other words, when I say climate change means this is in the subject matter of politics, the political change, transforming your body politic, transforming your laws and rules, and in this case, to no laws and rules. Reflexive, like they knock you in your knee and your knee kicks out, just how the so-called judiciary is going to reflexively respond to do what? To impose the green agenda, whatever's more green for them and not you. Remember, you're the human animal, you're the product, you're the human capital that they are getting to put into servitude. You're the energy for their system. The Matrix is not a movie. But Carney was interesting. Former North American term for the traveling carnival employee. Mark Carney, all these guys are that. They have a special language, and they're in a carnival, and they're getting you to buy the game, and you play the game. It could be that pee in a cup, and you're going to likely lose. And if you think you won, you're going to have an argument with them because they're not going to, like, give you up the prize. And so this it just came kind of interesting to me that his name was in there. But more importantly, Murray Strong. You don't have to learn the whole thing. You can read that short article to understand whom you might be up against. We are so far beyond all that. That's the history. We need to be responding to this stuff up front. The climate police are on your door. And they're going to have an additional teeth, even though they're lawless, because the underlying hearings officers and judiciary are also bought. They've bought in. Their policies are bought in. Remember, the American Bar Association promotes sustainable development. You're trapped. And the only thing I've seen in the law, where you go look at those savings clauses, that we're not prohibited by law, this collaboration material, this collaborative type action, alternative dispute resolution, these things could operate. You better know where the prohibition is in law for you, each one of you, as I've identified over and over and over, and why property becomes such an important thing to protect, what they run by and run down all the time. And here, the whole point, they've invented this thing, the Club of Rome, excuse me, I didn't have that before, I said it once and I forgot it already. The Club of Rome was a group that got together to think, how are we going to convince people? How do we convince people to fear them into doing what we need? Was where they started, but Maurice Strong picks up and then promotes and given carte blanche to do so in the world. And just track through who he met, and you'll see the same players all through this. Not like the Bill Gates. I mean, it was preceded all that. What I'm saying is the organizational structure. But going back to Nikki Raupana, rest in peace. Again, the late Nikki Raupana, she was all over that. All over that. Anybody who gets into this knows this. If you don't understand that history, you're missing a piece of this. And how long-term this thing has been, and how well-planned it is, and how integrated all these people are together. But I kept saying, the climate change is really the political climate. There is no climate crisis. Last week I presented a Rumble video. There is no climate crisis for Tom Harris speaking about this. He explains in the video there's a climate change reconsidered too. It's a ton of scientists and thousands of pages of work that you can use to show the consensus may be but the science is settled, but there's thousands and thousands of pages of scientists speaking. They're not agreeing, and that doesn't settle the science. In fact, it opens the door, and this all must be, it cannot be presumed that climate change exists at all unless we look at it as a treason. That does exist. That one does exist. But for the weather, and what causes the weather change, and these failed frame of works called greenhouse constructions, those are a non-starter at this point. And just from the sense of since all of what they do in the sustainable development is modeling, like they did all this for the COVID, modeling and statistical cooking the books, that's all that side is. even their models could not be as complex as they need to be in order to come up with anywhere close to the answers that they do. But I offer again the links, as I did last week, of a climate change reconsidered part two. They're kind of attack. To my mind, it's a lot of work just to show that there's no, the science is not settled, but that's not your argument. That's just to give you a place to say, you know, a bureaucrat can't presume that that's the case. What you're doing is you're not actually protecting the climate, because that's a fraud. And it was a fraud for the legislature to entertain it. And you're going to have to go right back up the chain to defend yourself as we move. This is going to be affecting lots and lots and lots more people, I think. And even, well, because it's an underlying religion, the green religion, remember green? Well, it's not, again, the green grass, it's the green of money. And the bankers are actually in charge. So this is an economic attack of all things. They just use these covers to get at us. But we see even the infallible, but not the infallible Pope, continually. I've talked about this for years. In 2015 was the biggest attack. They did the most actions I had to respond to, and the biggest attack against this guy, supporting all of this nonsense. The Pope calls for new economic system. All at the same time here in town, folks. New economic system that guarantees food, health, economic, and social rights. Now, I don't know about you, but before they started meddling, I think, at least in the United States, it's not universal. And yeah, there could be some things extended out, help that could extend out. Maybe not USAID, which is really a CIA operation. See, this is another thing. Our politics has these CIA operations that claim that they're feeding people. They're not. And then they're imposing a Western mindset. They don't go to the native, if you will, the local, and saying, well, what do you need? How do you need it? They don't do that. No, they've got to impose themselves. But the Pope comes in and he wants to see a new economic system. Why? And aren't they putting it in? So it's not, he's not just asking a question. He's predicting the future. He looks pretty smart when he does that, don't you think? But he wants to give everybody these guarantees. Well, it'd be nice, but maybe guarantees is not what you can do. It's not what I call it. It's only guaranteed when you can reduce someone's intake to the point that they can be supplied. But you look at the world today. As soon as the United States put sanctions on Russia, you watch half the world not be supplied. And the ones that were not supplied were the ones that put the sanctions on. But here, get this guy, this infallible one. No way. Here he is. He talks about a new economic system. He brings up the ideas of these climate, of sustainable development type things. He's not infallible. This is a fraud. According to Pope Francis, the world is, in its institutions, require material changes to create new economic system. Well, that would be even an attack on the existing BIS system, do you think? And if that's the case, and he's got an insight, what are they changing it to, would be my question. The Pope said it needs to be an economic system that creates food, health, economic, and social rights for everyone. Now, go look at the Netherlands. Weren't those farmers creating food until the bureaucracies underneath the green religion stopped them? And this guy supports the green religion. So he's not talking about creating a system that you think is. It's what they think is. What they're talking about here, the creating of food and health and economic social rights for everyone, is in a diminished capacity. Everyone that wants to buy in and no one outside. Pope Francis said the need to reform the United Nations was more than obvious after the COVID-19 pandemic and the Ukraine, where war exposed its limits, in an extract of his new book published Sunday. He agrees there's a COVID pandemic. He's a war criminal. He doesn't have the jurisdiction to look globally. He's not talking about his jurisdiction. And about the war exposed its limits in Ukraine? No, that's another fraud. That's another where West is sticking their nose in the business they have no business in. But how many times have we heard the United States has no interest in Ukraine? But there we are. There we are. And this is how this all starts to work. Why I say this sustainable development is not just limited to what you think is climate change, not just limited to COVID. There's an underlying world change going on. And there's going to be certain power players in it. And yet none are escaping the parameters of globalism and globalization. Again, it's just going to come in a slightly different form. And we could go through what he says, but it's irrelevant. He's already acknowledged two frauds as something that caused something, and they never did. These are self-inflicted wounds. Because I was talking, like, even through Twitter, the Alberta premier up there showing that she's not going to put up with the WEF, and then talking about this COVID and such, and I answered back. I said, but this is a self-inflicted scab picking, because the premier there, she did not expose and demonstrate a non-fraudulent infectious agent or say that they couldn't, which would have exposed the fraud in Alberta, and she wouldn't have to speak to WEF. She wouldn't have to even entertain what these folks are doing. So my hat's off to her standing up against that, but she fell short too. This is a very high bar these officials have to meet, I guess is what I'm saying. And it's not one that's arbitrary and capricious. It's written what they were to do. So we can't just accept the word of somebody, an official, that sounds right. Oh, I'm going to stand against WEF. Well, good, but you haven't exposed the fraud or the existence of something that we need to be interested in. Certainly, folks, we want to know if there's an infectious agent that's killing people. We want to know about that. You think it's interesting they haven't identified one in almost 3 years? Well, there's answers and reasons for all that. And I've talked about all of it. So, but here, going back to this, Pope Francis is just in the news again. Climate change is coming back, as he did in 2015, throwing his hat in, but he asked specifically for a new economic system. Like, the numbers of the ones we have and the new multipolar ones that are being generated aren't enough. But he's talking about a very specific thing. And I don't want to underestimate the word economic there, because that underpins the 2030 things. This is not about green as in grass or air and that we hear and breathe and then not even pollution. This has to do with a financial control, the monetary control of people, and the directing by decree violation whether or not they exist and to what extent. As we hear, as this moves on, and this is all in the same parameter, I don't know if people understand this, this sustainable development includes this biodiversity convention that includes using and sharing gene modification data. That's exactly what happened at the Wuhan. They synthesized a string of synthetic data, and they shared it. So I guess it could say it came from the lab in China, but it wasn't the stuff. It was just a chemical string that other people made in their labs. This is through the convention, Biodiversity Convention, which the UN promoted and got signed in 1992. Go back and through and see the Maurice Strong information. It's all consistent. If you've never heard this before, if you have, revisit it. I'm trying to show you. You've got to link this stuff up in your mind so you understand how to start to address it, or whether or not you can first. This is starting to get pretty far along. But risk on, a dramatic rise of genetic modified food. And I was just shocked anymore how many genetically modified organisms are. And there's a couple different styles. And the governments do their level best to use that special language in order to keep it all covered up. Technocratic tinkering with life is risking human life and well-being, while stating by the Department of Agriculture as, quote, substantially equivalent foods, genetically engineered products are permanently tainting our food supply, the biggest risk to the human biome and the immune system. Each year, large numbers of food items are added to the GMO shelf in supermarkets. So the Biodiversity Convention is working since 1992, whether or not you thought there was a law about it. And, the Codex Alimentarius comes on with all your supplements. In fact, I'm going to get to something here that actually came up late also. But gene editing has long been primarily used for research and treatment and disease prevention. Currently, this technology is increasingly being applied to modify agricultural products to create more perfect species. More and more genetically edited foods are appearing on the market, including high nutrient tomatoes, zero trans fat, and soybeans. I go on about that story. I've talked about it. But this is all part and parcel to this climate change and how the Pope is going to bring so-called health and food to you. It's going to be the food that you're given. Soylent Green come to mind here, folks, when you really have to watch that carbon footprint and all. IMF ponders, how are you going to do this? IMF ponders ways to end people's hesitancy to move away cash. So they don't want you in their cash. IMF is involved. This is that new economic system they want to create that the Pope's asking for. One of the speakers of the 2022 International Monetary Fund World Bank Group annual meetings, Kristalina Georgieva, IMF's managing director has revealed that this financial institution doesn't like people using cash and wants to change that preference. Why? Because the BIS guy, their premier, says, we want to watch every penny you spend. Why? Because they've got to make sure that they can control whether or not you have a decree violation or not. And this is the economic system the Pope's asking for, that they have this power over you. So the IMF is pondering, and I've already reported on this. I'm going to bring this is a new again. It's coming back again this week to remind us that they're still there. Moved on this fraud called climate change. The Pope's up with the fraud. He's not infallible, but they promote that he is. That's another pump up, right? CNN blames pets for climate change. Pushes insect-based food consumption. Our beloved cats and dogs are to blame for climate change, and we must start feeding them insect-based food to correct the problem, according to CNN. Can I move on? Do you think it stops with the food for the pets, and the pets are causing this? Well, what was the next progression after the cows, right? But research suggests how many burgers are safe for climate. Limiting meat consumption could help 2030 global warming targets. So you think I was talking earlier that 2030 was not a part of this? It's absolutely part of this. Continuing a thing that Maurice Strong helped to promote and got a carte blanche access to all these non-governmental institutions and then inside your governments to impose upon us. It's within the reach of state of climate action, they said. Climate action through your climate police that's being instituted everywhere. Eating no more than the equivalent of 2 burgers per week will contribute to the fight against climate change. New research conducted by several high-profile climate organizations published. Climate organizations, again, they all are in the consensus, and they don't listen to anything other than their fear-based thoughts and beliefs. NASA maps greenhouse gas super emitters. What I found just in a nutshell here on the summary, they talk about these super emitters, including large oil and gas facilities, as well as landfills. You got to understand, think deep on that one, because that's what they're after, too. What you throw out, and also, again, the oil. But what I noticed in the picture, and boy, this sure looks like a hokey picture, too. False color rendition of, looked like infrared type thing, but where they're identifying all this natural gas emitting from a super emitter. I noticed in the picture, there was no cows emitting. Not one group of cows did they identify on the ground. So I kind of think that maybe that the cows emitting their natural gas that need to be controlled, that might be a little bit of an overreach, don't you think? Well, I would expect a lot of overreach because there's a word for all this, who these people are and what they suffer from. It's called climate psychosis. Climate change delusion was proposed in 2008 by some clinicians to describe delusions, fixed, firm, or irrational beliefs about the personal impact one has on climate change. I'll stop there. Also, the people that research how that you would cause that, where they have that fear. Climate psychosis is what we're dealing with. I said it was the insane are running the asylum. I don't say stuff just because I think it sounds cool. We are in some trouble, folks. So the Pope wants to have food and good food. Suppose he didn't say good food or good economy, all that. He just wants to be able to guarantee whatever that's going to be, whatever the level would be. Snow train comes to mind, and the little amphibians that they were feeding people. Soylent Green comes to mind, and reducing the carbon footprint. We have, though, that's supposed to be protected by the Pope in the world. We cannot get fresh water. Absolute shameful. Michigan judge drops Flint water crisis charges against 7 officials. No accountability. I couldn't find the real reason why the officials weren't found for at least their election of duty relative to the lead contamination in Flint, Michigan. But all those cases that we'd heard gone through, dismissed finally. No officials going to be looked at whatsoever. Also, our health. They want to talk about health and having food and eating. They don't want to actually do that. Codex Alimentarius would look like it would be a good standard to follow, a European. They're trying to bring it in now. I think I got this from Gary L. at the suspectsguide.com website, a story. I wish it had a little more information on maybe particulars within the bill, but important now by November 3rd for you folks that want to respond. Our rights to health choice under attack at S4090. I put this link in so you get 2 links. One is to where your senators are to respond and get the bill name and a couple of other things I can't remember. Oh, and a study. Showing the complaint in the article is how ridiculous they treat the subject matter in order to give them the right to do the legislation. I give you a link to the legislation. I would suggest strongly, if you believe in the herbal supplement content labels and look carefully, my problem with this isn't what they're doing. It's what they connect the obligation to do to companies that don't have to do it on natural things, all because of this hyped up danger, so-called, like you're not grown up enough to do this for yourself. You need to respond to this. I concurred with the thing. It's kind of late. They've already had two readings on it. Again, the population needs to respond. I include two links to give you a quick uptake on what they're doing to really limit us for food, health, and economy. They want to decide for you. That's all going to be tied together. Essentially, will be eventually tied to your social credit and your decree violations, I'm sure. And a present reminder here, the second smartest guy in the world, website at Substack, and I think that's a hat tip to me, I'm sure. If he's the second smartest guy, it's got to be a hat tip to me. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. But the reminding, a peaceful calling is underway. The Club of Rome was founded in 1968 to deliberately push the global climate terrorism agenda in order to usher in the eventual planetary Great Reset. This now speaks to the Maurice Strong thing with the Club of Rome. It was a good little article, second smartest guy in the world. Thank you very much. For tying this together, if you want a lineage of what goes on, how this works, I think his attitude's correct in his expression of it. This is a PSYOP climate change scam. I totally agree, but it's not really a scam. It's a method of destruction for our way of life all over the globe. Yes, we have pollution problems. Yes, but we've made great strides and we can make better. That's not a reason to conflate a political terrorism, a fear-mongering to get a transformation and get people to move into the transformed society that they're controlled. But we see Australian banks begins linking customers' transaction to carbon footprint. And so this is not a hyperbole that this is going on. What you saw in Australia with COVID is that they're extending it to the carbon footprint that never went away. I told you it wouldn't. That we don't step up as people. Again, you pay the fee. The fee, fine, taxes, the exactions of every kind under civil rights in the United States is consistent across the globe how long ago this was put into place, that the people never responded. They didn't have the revolution. The revolution is in the gendarme now. This is the climate police. And they're hitting us in a way, it's like they have this prerogative power that it's very difficult to destroy and very difficult to deal with. Like I told you, the medical is. See, when they say that the earth is harmed and it's the health of the environment, they can use that same authority or lack of authority or your ignorance of that authority to overcome you and use powers that were never able to be done and usually have a check and balance. Again, I didn't quite get to my tabs to come close this off, getting us to China, these social groups, the militaries involved. The entirety is being collected up in the world to move to a one and focused world and world government and world currencies. And I hope you've been paying attention and don't not respond. Hope something I said today helps you, get some form, get you started, at least on a direction maybe, and take action, certainly against your health labeling on those things and see the limits of it. And I'll be with you next week, Tech Tips or Nature Willing.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
Can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.